Havarim, and welcome to the Shofar Ministries program. This is Dan with my lovely wife and Bible teacher, Reverend Sheila Crawford.
Tada, my dear, and tada to all the listeners. We really are blessed to be able to serve you, the body of Christ. And if you are not a member of this wonderful body, pause this program right now and with true meaning, ask Jesus into your heart. So, honey, let us give him great thanks for our salvation.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Abba Father, for sending us your Son, the only way to salvation. You alone are our true Redeemer, our Alpha and Omega, and soon reigning King, for your promises are yes and amen. We appreciate your many signals pointing to your return. We continue to pray for our righteous leaders to step up against the evil forces expanding in America. Keep us strong so we can resist the tyranny that is raising its fist against your bride to beat us down. And as always, we ask that you keep knocking on the doors of our loved ones' heart so they too will experience that wonderful peace that passes all understanding. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. That was a beautiful prayer. And I thought of this scripture in Acts chapter 5, you know, where Peter and the apostles, when answering the leaders, they said, "We must obey God rather than men." You know, we need to keep that in mind as the days, these days, often feel it's just easier to stay quiet or to just get along, often resulting in compromising our biblical values. So be very careful with that because the enemy creeps in unawares.
What's the newest with Israel?
Well, sadly but not uncommon is that they've, again, in the middle of terrorist assaults, but not solely from the Palestinians, but rather from Iran's funded proxy armies, which the Biden administration has helped contribute to. However, some good news is that Saudi Arabia is laying the foundation for peace with Israel by making diplomatic statements with positive media coverage and even changing hateful language in their textbooks.
Well, that's a biggie right
there.
Oh,
it is, yeah. And previously they said there would have to be like a two-state solution with the Palestinians, but Saudi Arabia is not saying that anymore. Rather, they're urging the Palestinians to make peace.
I'm thinking of Daniel 9:27.
Of course you are. And along with the existing Abraham Accords, it's really looking good for that treaty to grow legs.
Yeah, everything else is coming together.
And quickly for our own eyes to see.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what God wants, for us to know it soon so we can be more excited and to encourage others in spite of what is going on around us. Because, have you heard? There are some serious statements being made by some TSA and Border Patrol whistleblowers that the Biden administration will once again implement lockdowns and mask wearing, beginning with the airlines, due to another highly mutated variant of COVID named BA286 and others that is spreading from the UK and is apparently now in Michigan.
We all know by now that mask wearing is almost useless.
And can cause serious harm by restricting proper oxygen intake while overloading a body with carbon dioxide, eventually triggering a nasty case of hypoxia, which means oxygen deprivation. And masks, by the way, they just don't stop viruses anyhow. Did you know Biden has already created a federal agency to deal with future pandemics? Because he knows there will be one, as in COVID 2.0.
Well, we knew that would happen.
We did, thanks to WHO and Bill Gates, who have openly been heralding it for months. We also know they've been doing more gain-of-function manipulations, as proven with the discovery of many U.S.-assisted biolabs nationwide.
Yeah, especially in Ukraine.
Just as Putin said, which was one of the reasons he bombed Kiev, he feared they would use bioweapons on the Russians still living in Ukraine. And you know what? They just might, especially with prodding from the United States.
So, Russians are primarily living in the eastern area now.
Yeah, they have for a while, who apparently begged Putin to invade because the Ukrainian army was attacking them frequently. Anyhow, back to COVID 2.0, which this time is expected to be worse, especially due to the fact that unless you received placebos, which were interspersed, the fully vaccinated have had time now for their immune system to degrade significantly, and therefore will catch the variants more easily, suffering horrific consequences as a result.
Just in time for next year's election.
Yeah, imagine that.
Mm-hmm.
Saints, keep feeding your immune system. Feed it with His Word and lots of supplements.
Okay, and we welcome all of your comments and end-time questions either by email to Sheila@shofarministries.net or call the office and leave a detailed message to 440-834-9006 or by regular mail to Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. Please consider a love offering, which is received with much gratitude. Any correspondent will automatically add you to our monthly newsletter list. You can also bless us with your donation on our webpage, shofarministries.net, where you will also find our past radio and teaching letters archived for your learning pleasure.
Thank you, dear.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we are now in a special season. Last Thursday began the month of Elul on God's calendar called Teshuvah. Now, some of you that are newer believers to the concept of our Hebrew roots might be thinking, why do we as Christians need to know this?
Or, actually, why study our Hebrew roots at all?
Yeah. Well, first and foremost is, Jesus was Jewish, therefore, He is our Christian roots. Remember Romans 11 says we've been grafted in among them. You know, when I was a child attending St. Aloysius Catholic School in Cleveland, our faith was called Judeo-Christianity. And somewhere along the way, Judea was dropped. Anyhow, after I became born again and strongly led by the Holy Spirit, I began searching to learn more about my first century Jewish Jesus. And I say first century because later on, especially during the Dark Ages, changes were made to Judaism, and some valuable teachings were being ignored, while adding man-made traditions that Jesus never did.
As in wearing the yarmulke.
Right. That was added much later. So I said all that because should you want to do some study on your spiritual roots, you should stick to the first century. Now, there is a four-volume book series that I learned a lot from called Judaism in the First Century by George Foot Moore. But we do suggest beginning with the appointments of the Lord outlined in Leviticus 23, then add the idiomatic expressions of their day. Those are the two most important areas to enhance your Bible study in the area of eschatology.
And we cover this almost every year on the program.
Yes, and we must because you will not correctly understand end-time prophecy without this knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, Messianic teachers of today who were born Jewish still have to, or certainly should, study their first century roots because their father or grandfather didn't, and therefore handed down teachings that were not always accurate that came much later after Jesus, and as we said, were changed, especially during the Dark Ages, because many of their ancient books were burned.
Thank God, some were spared.
And some were hidden and found later in my lifetime, the Dead Sea Scrolls, to include the writings of Enoch, which I'm telling you, we're just so grateful that they were found, and they were found by divine inspiration.
For sure.
So I started teaching on our roots in the 90s, and let me tell you, as a Gentile woman, I was pretty alone. But now finally, some other Christian teachers are sharing these basic truths. But do keep your journey simple, so to enjoy the ride.
And be sure to check out our webpage, shofarministries.net.
Well, yeah, because between all the teaching letters and archived radio programs, you can glean just about all of what students need to know if eschatology is your major. Again, all seven of God's appointments made with us are very important for our understanding of the times we live in. You know, he's kept the first four appointments, and very soon we'll fulfill the final three fall appointments as well.
Of course. Why wouldn't he?
Exactly. But sadly, the main reason we are hearing different versions of eschatology is because many are lacking in the basic understanding of our first century Christian Hebrew roots.
So therefore, they can misinterpret important pieces of information.
Yes, especially in idiomatic terms and phrases used in Scripture. Let me say it again. If you have accepted the Messiah into your heart, you have been adopted into his family, making us as well the heirs of his promises.
Proving the appointments are meant for us, too.
Well, exactly. Mm-hmm. And if you want to get technical, therefore the unsaved as well. For if they understand them, they would get saved.
And we know that's a fact.
We do. So, use them for a witnessing tool. And at least they'll be a tribulation saint.
Amen to that.
Always be sure to stay balanced, though. And this is very important. Never, ever, ever get legalistic. Because the reason for the law was to be a tutor to better see their need for a Savior, thereby longing for their Messiah, who came to fulfill the law.
Read Galatians, especially chapter 3.
Mm-hmm. Amen. With all that said, know this. Because of Jesus, nothing has to be done on our part, only to learn why, thereby increasing your knowledge of Him to see more clearly the entire plan of God and of who He is. Which then, of course, brings you into a very rewarding, much closer relationship, which should be all of our goals.
Well, unfortunately, many are just too lazy to learn.
As was prophesied would be the case at the end of the end time church called, I think it's called Laodicea. And that's in Revelation 3.
Okay, back to Teshuvah.
Yes, so what knowledge should we glean from this current season? Well, the word means to return, or better yet, to repent for not being as close to the Lord as one should. Now, tell me the church wouldn't benefit from adhering to this season, if only as a reminder. So, on the Hebrew 360-day lunar calendar, Teshuvah always begins on Elul 1, which in our Gregorian solar calendar this year, 2023, began on August 17th at sundown and continues for 40 days to Yom Kippur.
The Day of Atonement.
Yes. The Jewish people observe the first 30 days differently than the last 10 days. Where the first 30, the shofar is sounded daily along with special pre-dawn prayers for forgiveness. And on the 30th day, also called the last trump, 100 blasts are blown. Then, at the sound of the last trump blown, it ushers in the new year called the Feast of Trumpets.
Or Rosh Hashanah.
Meaning the head of the year. This grand feast is celebrated for 2 days and was believed during Jesus' day and still today by the more religious Jews that some year the resurrection would occur on one of these 2 days. And no one knows which day or hour, which is another common phrase used for this Feast of Trumpets.
So it's the birthday of the world.
More specifically, the birthday or creation of Adam,
which began the civil calendar on Tishri 1.
What's really cool is that Paul actually wrote it down for us that some year the rapture resurrection will happen at the last trump, which, as we said, is an idiom used for Rosh Hashanah.
1 Corinthians 15:51.
So, don't you think the month before this possible event just might call for some introspection, maybe? Well, they certainly did, and the Orthodox still do today. Now, of course, as born-again Christians, all our sins are covered by the blood. But knowing that just maybe the resurrection might happen in some fall season might get you a little excited, especially since James 5 establishes that as well.
Right. When the harvest come in.
Yeah. There are a few examples of God actually chastising his people more during this season.
Well, as a warning to turn more towards him.
For instance, we know that God commanded Jonah to go to Nineveh to seek their repentance during Teshuvah, giving them the 40 days to repent. And Teshuvah corresponds to the 40 days that Moses spent on Mount Sinai, repenting to God for Israel's golden calf incident, then returning on their Day of Atonement.
Called Yom Kippur, with the new set of tablets.
Mm-hmm. Also, in Daniel's account of Babylon's handwriting on the wall, according to historical records, happened during Teshuvah. And by connecting the dots, we can see that when Jesus was baptized, John the Baptist was proclaiming for all the people to repent.
As that was the first day of Teshuvah.
Yes, for Jesus then went directly into the wilderness to pray repentance for the people and to prepare for his ministry that would begin on his 30th birthday, just 5 days after Yom Kippur, on the first day of the Feast of Tabernacles.
Yeah, you know, it was Jewish law that a man could not enter his ministry until he was 30.
And he scrupulously adhered to it. So we would benefit by the knowledge of our Jewish roots. Never lose sight that all this was purposely prearranged and set up by God. He is very exact and precise in everything. And he has set forth everything to happen for our learning today. And that's why Paul said in Romans 15:4,
whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we, through the patience and comfort of the scriptures, might have hope.
Again, the Greek word for hope is elpis, number 1680, which means confidence, that you might have confidence. So, anyway, another example is in Haggai 1, verse 1, where he right away makes sure the reader knows it was on the first day of the sixth month,
which is Elul 1, the first day of Teshuvah.
So, on your own, please read the first chapter of Haggai, and you'll see that they truly needed to turn more toward God, for they knew of him, but were not moving toward him. Now, think about that. Especially as it applies to the church and to personally all of us. Do you know him, but are comfortable staying where you are and not growing closer to him? Have you heard the statement, well, if you're not going forward, it's the same as going backward? You know, and I cannot say this enough, nothing in his word is there by accident. He purposely tells us what season it is for a reason. And most just read right over it because many just want to shy away from his Jewishness, not even caring to learn some simple basic tenets of our faith. And don't tell me our Hebraic roots is not highlighted in the New Testament, when in fact the entire writing of John's Gospel is surrounded by all the feasts.
Well, the New Testament was penned by Jews.
True.
Another example is Ezekiel 8.
Oh, yeah, where once again God makes sure that we know that it's the sixth month when Ezekiel is shown Israel's idolatry in the temple, along with all manner of abominations, even amongst the elders hiding in the dark, like God couldn't see them. God then says to Ezekiel, I will now act in my fury. So in chapter 9, during Teshuvah, the wicked are slain.
But not the righteous, who had a seal of protection.
As a type of what happens in Revelation, where the 144,000 sealed ones of the 12 tribes of Israel that will receive salvation immediately after our rapture are then set apart for protection just before the seals are opened, starting the final judgment.
So Ezekiel 8 and 9 is a great read for typology.
Yes, and I'll leave you with this. Think of Elul as the final preparation month just before your wedding. Of course, this preparation is not physical and material in nature, but rather spiritual, like a New Year's resolution to get closer to your soon coming king. And here's a gold nugget. The Hebrew letters for Elul is Aleph, Lamed, Vav, and Lamed, which is an acronym for the words in Hebrew, Ani Ladodi Vidodi Li, taken from the Song of Songs, chapter 6, verse 3. It says, I am my beloved, and my beloved is mine. That's Elul. Also, according to traditional Jewish thought, this month can also be a time when God's people find particular favor with him. Well, due to judgment on their enemies, as we read in Nehemiah 6. So it can be a time for reprimanding his people or a time to reprimand their enemies. And it is interesting, when looking back at history, many significant events do happen in August and September. You know, like is 9/11, for instance, and of course, lots of hurricanes, which has already begun now. So anyway, during Teshuvah, Isaiah 55, 6 through 7 is often quoted. It says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him teshuvah to the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. That is why they blow the shofar during Teshuvah. It's a wake-up call to be alert. And then you can also read Ephesians 5, 14 through 16 that says, wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Messiah will shine on you. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. You know, we all need to repent for the sin of omission, for not spending more time with him in his word. Teshuvah is a good time to really look inward. Unless, of course, you can say, oh, no need. My life and my home are completely in order, and my relationships are exactly as God would have them. Really?
Mm-hmm.
Who can say that? So use this month of Elul to get closer to him. Study to show yourself approved unto God. If you're not saved, time's a wasting. Receive him now. Don't be foolish and be set up for the great deception. I want to leave you with the Aaronic blessing. The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Till next time. Sha'alu Shalom. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem.
Thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.